You can start an argument in America just by using the words weapon and assault in a sentence, and not in that order. Oregon's body politic is getting riled by gun issues at several levels of government at the moment. At the state level, an initiative petition is making the rounds, seeking to ban assault rifles and large-capacity gun magazines. Initiative Petition 43, as it is known at the moment, is only to the stage of collecting signatures to get on the ballot. That is not assured. Even so, groups in counties all over Oregon are working to get county ordinances passed that would address any far-reaching state gun law. The Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment leads the effort. We have two representatives with us. Rob Taylor is the Coos County leader of the Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Tim Harris is here with the Klamath County Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Tim, let's start with you. What is the concern that is there anything specific to Klamath County, first of all, that led you to get things moving there?
No, it's just a continual infringements on our rights. They're continually attacking law-abiding gun owners instead of going after the problem, which is the criminals and things like that. They're continually coming after us law-abiding citizens. And quite honestly, I have two young men that I'm trying to raise, and I'd hate to have them lose their rights before they even know they have them.
Do you really think it would get to that point, though? I mean, the Second Amendment is so worshipped in this country. I mean, it's not like it'll ever get completely rubbed out. And only one person I can think of in recent years has said, let's get rid of the Second Amendment, and that was a retired Supreme Court justice.
Right. And, you know, I just don't understand the part of shall not be infringed that they don't understand. That's my big problem with them, is they just don't understand that it's that simple.
All right. But if you can continue to own some guns but not all, I mean, is that really infringement?
Yeah. What I own is, quite honestly, nobody's business. So long as I'm not infringing on anybody else's rights, there's no reason that anybody should know what I even own.
Rob Taylor, is the motivation pretty much the same for you in Coos County?
Oh, absolutely. We find it ridiculous that they would even try to ban what they call assault rifles, because those are used in a very small percentage of most of the crimes that are being committed out there. So even their logic is flawed on that area. And, you know, like the gentleman said, Tim Harris, that we are being attacked on many different levels. It's just not a Justice Supreme Court. But when we're out gathering signatures, and I've been all over this state helping on this, there are people who will come up to me, and Tim has probably experienced this too, where they will tell us that not only do they want to disarm the civilian population, they would like to disarm the police, much like they have it in London and France and other European countries.
But people say that, really, that they want to disarm everyone?
Yes, absolutely.
Honestly, though, did you get that from a lot of people or just a few here and there?
Well, I get it from a few here and there, but it's said so quite frequently enough that it does alarm me.
All right, I'm looking at Initiative Petition 43. The subject is promote public safety for all through the reduction of assault weapons and large-capacity magazines. The draft ballot title is criminalizes possession or transfer of assault weapons, in quotes, defined, or in, also in quotes, large-capacity magazines, defined, with exceptions. Obviously, it's very early in the stage here, and I wonder about the timing of the county measures. Rob, I mean, did you guys get going on this even before IP 43 was filed?
Oh, man, we were going on this way back when SB 941 came through, and that's when I started looking around to see what other states had done. So I talked to a gentleman who had gotten an ordinance written by the 10th Amendment the 10th Amendment Center. And so we took this ordinance, I converted it to our county, and I went to our county commissioners. And two of the commissioners refused to even look at it or go any further. So I decided to use our very liberal initiative process here in Oregon, and I got it on the ballot, and over 62% of the people voted to pass that initiative.
And what does it say?
And basically what it tells you is that it, much like the immigration law for the state, it basically allows the county to defund and take away all resources from any law that the sheriff has determined violates an individual's Second Amendment right.
And has the sheriff reached any sort of determination on that at this point?
Well, the sheriff, our sheriff is a great sheriff. And Well, ironically, most of those laws that have been passed recently, like SB 941 and SB 917.
These are state laws you're talking about.
Yes, these are state laws. Those laws that were passed by the legislature, well, they're not really being enforced very much in the rural counties anyway. So passing the county measure isn't going to change much because these sheriffs don't have the resources to enforce those laws from the get-go.
Catch people up, Rob, if you would. 941 and 917 did what?
Well, 941 was the one that was the background checks law. Mm-hmm. Right? And, well, no, actually it was the registration law where you had to go, and any time you transferred a weapon, that you had to get that transfer registered, and you had to get a background check for anyone who did the transfer.
Mm-hmm. And what is the issue with the background checks for people who are seeking to buy guns?
And specifically, it was, and I forget what was entailed with SB. Oh, yes, the SB 941 went further than just going to the store and having to get a background check when you purchase from the store. They did they're forcing background checks between people who may have known each other for 30 years. Say I sell to my buddy who I've known for 30 years, and we've been exchanging guns for years, and I have a friend where we've done that. Every time we buy a gun from each other, we're supposed to go down to the store, the gun store or the state police, and we're supposed to get a background check for the both of us, which is ridiculous when I already know the man for the past 30 years.
So you think there should be some provision in law to allow a background check to sort of stick once you get one? It's like good for 5 years or something?
And to be honest with you, I don't think that any private transfers should be the business of government. And I don't think that we need any background checks for those type of transfers, because the original sale of most of those guns, the people who purchased that already went through that process at the store.
But, Rob, you're talking about guys you've known for a long time. Have you ever sold a gun to somebody you didn't know particularly well and thought, yeah, it would have been good to have a background check?
Well, I disagree with you. I think that there is a more probability with the government, especially the government of Oregon, using those background checks as a way to register those guns, because every time you do a background check, they have to acknowledge the gun that's being transferred. Well, that gun gets registered. Well, eventually, I believe the state of Oregon is going to do like Connecticut did and go through a confiscation process. Well, they can't confiscate them if they're not registered and the state doesn't know about them.
We're talking about Second Amendment rights and committees to preserve those around the state of Oregon. Rob Taylor is the Coos County leader for the Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment. Tim Harris working on a similar effort in Klamath County. Conversation welcome here at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Tim Harris, assault weapon itself appears to be a highly debated term. I mentioned that even on the initiative petition, it's in quotes, but it is defined in the body of the measure. It does specify what that means. For the folks who don't spend a lot of time around guns, can you help us understand what that means when it says assault weapons?
Actually, I can't. I'm not sure, because the term assault itself is an action.
Mm-hmm.
So anything, my pen could be an assault weapon. A rock can be an assault weapon.
But it's generally understood. I mean, and when you hear about assault weapon, people are talking about a certain type of gun that is a military-style weapon, right?
Correct.
I'm asking is, then, what is generally the use of such a weapon?
Sporting rifle. Mm-hmm. We go out and target practice with them.
Mm-hmm.
Limited hunting. It is regulated. But primarily target practice. They're extremely fun. They're easy to operate.
So fun to shoot. Yeah, I get it. The target practice. So the hunting part of that, though, you said limited use because there are regulations. Regulations on the size of bullet, that sort of thing it can use?
That's exactly what it is. It's, mm-hmm. it's actually only a .22 caliber rifle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody says that it's so deadly and it's so devastating to things. Well, it's only a .22 caliber rifle. It's just like shooting the .22 that your grandpa gave you, except it's a semi-automatic weapon.
It is a longer bullet, too, though, isn't it? With packs more
powder. It is a longer bullet.
Mm-hmm.
It is a longer bullet.
All right. So limited utility. I mean, this is not the kind of thing you're going to go out and hunt a deer with.
No, it's not, actually. It's something you would go out and do predator control with on your properties, possibly. But primarily, it's just for going out for myself and just target practicing.
Talk about the efforts thus far in Klamath County. I know it's Coos County's already passed something. Talk about what's been going on in Klamath County in terms of gun rights.
okay, well, we filed the initiative, and it passed, and we started collecting signatures on the 11th of April. Mm-hmm. 1,800 signatures required. We're about halfway there.
All right. And what's the gist of what the ordinance would do in Klamath County?
Well, essentially what Rob said, it just limits the funding to your sheriff's department. In fact, it not only limits it, it eliminates the funding to your sheriff's department for going after law-abiding gun owners.
All right, so if the sheriff finds that something is it the sheriff's purview to decide what's constitutional and what's not?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of weight for a sheriff, isn't it?
It is, but it's a sheriff should be, he takes an oath. He should understand the Constitution very well, especially the Second Amendment. Shall not be infringed is a pretty simple wording.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Well, I have to say that when the sheriff, any time that a sheriff makes a decision to pull someone over or to go into someone's house, the first thing they have to discern is whether what they're doing is constitutional or not and whether it violates their right. And at a certain point, the sheriff has to determine that through his own discretionary powers. Right now, the sheriff, you see police all the time when they're driving down the street. Someone goes speeding by, but because they have other pressing matters, they don't go and catch the speeder because at that point in time, there's something that's more important. Well, the sheriffs down here, they have to make those decisions, and that distinction is very important. And what this does in the law, it codifies that discretionary power for the sheriff. And what else it does is it creates a path where they can nullify very bad laws that are going to harm their citizens. Because the sheriff, just like every elected official, before he goes into office, the first thing he does is raise his right hand. He takes an oath of office to uphold the laws of the U.S. Constitution. And that makes him responsible for the rights of every individual that he's serving in his county.
So you see that as the sheriff constitutional connection, that oath?
Beg your pardon?
You see that as the sheriff constitutional connection, that and there, that oath?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Let's take a call here. We have Joe in Dillard on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Rob Taylor and Tim Harris from the Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment. Rob in Coos County, Tim in Klamath County.
Yeah, good morning. Now, I just had some comments. I'm a gun owner myself, Vietnam veteran, had sniper training. I'm an old man. And I just want to express my contempt and a little bit of observation. I'm also a scholar. I have a PhD many years ago. And what I found about gun owners, NRA members, people who hunt, is that they are people who have offended people in the past, and they live in fear. They have guns as a form of terrorism. It's for retaliation. Our sheriff here, talk about elected officials, our sheriff, John Hanlon, here in Douglas County, where I live, has denied the Sandy Hook massacre. He has pictures of himself naked on the Internet, and he is totally a gun freak. He loves guns, and he is one of the first people to come out and say that he would not enforce any laws. He's denied the Constitution several times. I think our election officials here relying on elected people to determine our ethics and our morality is the wrong situation. By the way, the sheriffs of Oregon were almost over half of them supported the KKK back in 1928 when we had a KKK governor. And there's a direct relationship between the people who seceded from the United States, the southern slave owners, the KKK, and the NRA, and the people who love guns.
Okay.
I just want to express my eternal contempt.
Okay.
Okay.
Joe, we're done.
I say that's the type of attitude that we've been facing on the street from many people who feel the same way as that gentleman did. He maligns and attacks us without even finding out the truth.
You got lumped in with a lot of things there, that's for sure. I should point out that the entire state legislature was controlled by the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s. Let's move away from the Klan issue, though. The idea, well, boy, I think you pretty much said what you had to say there, Rob. Anything else you want to add? Tim?
Well, yeah, and like you said, you know, you were talking about the Klan members. Well, most of the Klan members back in the 30s were all Democrats, and I'm sure that gentleman was probably a Democrat, too. who once again wants to complain and conflate two different issues, actually three or four different issues he had there.
All right, let's come back to one of the main points here. There, the large capacity magazines, as indicated in Initiative Petition 43, which is one of the things out there that you guys have problems with. Is there a particular size? Should magazines be unlimited in either one of your minds?
Oh, I think there should be no limitations on magazines. That once again it's an inanimate object. It doesn't matter whether you have a magazine that holds 50 bullets or 100 or 150. You could go out and buy as many magazines as you want to load a gun. So, that's one of those things it's kind of a misnomer. They think just because you have more magazines that you're going to cause more damage.
But if you can shoot more bullets at one time without having to reload, that certainly makes it easier to take out a lot more people, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does, but then they could use a bomb and take out even more people. So, you could sit there and use that rationale all day long.
We're talking to Rob Taylor and Tim Harris of the Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment about efforts in their counties to create ordinances that then stand against gun law. Rob is in Coos County, Tim in Klamath County. Here's a call from Mike in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Keep it clean, please.
I promise I'll keep it clean. First off, the Democratic and Republican parties had a schism/shift ending around 1936 where Republican and Democratic ideals flipped, just starting from a prior caller who said bad words. Anyways, I was just wondering, the two callers, what their inputs on the Militia Acts of 1792, 1862, and 1903 that Congress did to essentially elaborate on the Second Amendment. No way am I against taking away people's guns, but do they have any input on how the Militia Act actually elaborated on the Second Amendment? And I'll take my comment off the air.
Thank you very much, Mike. So, Rob, the whole idea of the Second Amendment containing those words, a well-regulated militia, is what he appears to be addressing here. Do you know about the acts he's talking about, though?
I've heard of it before, but, I'm not picking up exactly. I can't remember exactly what the act did. I know after the federal Congress, they did pass laws concerning those type of actions, but we just had a recent court case, and I can't think of the court case, where they just said that owning a gun is an individual right.
D.C. versus Heller, yeah, it's well known. But still the issue of, if it says well-regulated militia, the original idea, at least in some people's minds, was that we would all work on this together and be part of an organized militia, drilling, sort of like the National Guard does now.
Well, I don't think that that's absolutely true, and in fact, there's a comma between that and the rest of that statement, and at the end it says, shall not be infringed. So even at that point, you have to question any regulations that they put on a militia or the individual.
So for either of you guys, and Tim, why don't you get in here, with the issues you have with the state measure, why not go after it at the state level? Either file your own petition to counteract it or talk to legislators to write bills to negate the law if it even gets to the ballot and passes. Why address this at the county level instead of the state, Tim?
Well, this particular ordinance, which I actually introduced 2 years ago in Lake County, is written to be introduced at the county level.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the, after Columbia County had theirs approved to be put on the ballot, I kind of took the initiative to go ahead and start it in Klamath Falls, and that's where it went from there.
We only have 60,000 people in Coos County, so mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to run a statewide measure from where me and Tim lives. He lives in Klamath County, which has even less people. So it's very hard to get an organized team unless you're in Eugene, Salem, or one of the other city centers to do something like that, and that's the problem with rural counties.
You probably have friends in those cities, though, don't you? Could do the petition circulation you're looking for?
Yes, we do, but we don't have the support up there like we do in the rural counties. We find a lot more opposition in the cities. We find a lot more. We'll even get outright protests. We'll come out and protest anything that we do. So, you don't have that same support in the metropolitan areas until you get out into the countryside and the rural areas and the more less populated counties.
Now, what about the whole issue of supremacy of law? Because you're talking about doing something at a county level that seeks to negate a state law, potentially. It's pretty clear from the Constitution that it goes federal supremacy over state supremacy over county.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's something that we may be facing a challenge on. But you're talking about the state being mad because we are passing a law that circumvents a state law. Well, the state has an immigration law that circumvents the federal law, the same thing with marijuana. So what we're doing is we're applying the same theory that they're using on their own level, but we're doing it on the county level. And then, you know, there's a doctrine, the Hoover Doctrine, that talks about when governments, state governments, become too intrusive, start violating rights, that your last form of defense are your cities and your counties. And at that point, you have a right, I would say even a duty, to challenge anything that starts violating your citizens' rights.
The whole shall not be infringed. I mean, you guys don't think people should own bazookas or tanks, do you?
It depends. Let's see what the rules are for owning a tank and stuff. I used to go to a doctor who fought in World War II. He wrote the story about the dog-faced soldiers. It was a pretty popular book, and he had a Sherman tank parked out in his backyard. And I'll tell you what, we kids had a great time playing on it, and it was a fully active tank that he could take out and shoot in the field. And no one was ever hurt with that tank since he got it out of the World War II.
All right, not the first we've heard of this, not the last. So, once again, a fight over who gets guns and who doesn't. And we'll be talking probably down the road to the folks who filed Initiative Petition 43. It was 42. They unfiled it, refiled it as 43, which does seek to reduce assault weapons and large-capacity magazines, which is one of the things that is opposed by our guests today. Rob Taylor is the Coos County leader of the Committee to Preserve the Second Amendment. Tim Harris, the chief petitioner for a similar action in Klamath County. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having us.
All right, take it easy.